This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, this is a great day. I'm going to have two fantastic interviews. The first one is coming up in a minute, but I just want to remind everyone that at the bottom of the hour, I will be talking, I will get all girly here and talk about weddings because it is the season. And my guest is going to be Samantha Chase, and we're going to talk about her latest book in her Bridal Squad. I think she's doing a trilogy, maybe even more, because it's a really good series. It's called the Enchanted Bridal Series. But first, I'm going to go military. And as everyone knows, I love the military. And I'm deeply involved with the military, and it's also good that my husband was in the military. But I want to thank the next guest because he is just so wonderful, and I am so thrilled to be talking to him. Chuck Grosart has written a book that I really love. It's called The Argus Deceit, and I'm so looking forward to talking to him about that and some of his other books, which are equally great. Hi.
Hi, Patsy.
Okay, well, I should say retired Lieutenant Colonel Chuck Grosart. Hi, Colonel.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I love it. Tell me something. Do you miss people saluting you?
Well, no.
No, you don't? I love, you know, at the end of every program, Big Ed in the control room salutes me, and I love it. I love being saluted. I should have been in the military because I really get a kick out of it. But and I know a guy who trained his dog to salute him. So,
oh, for heaven's sake.
You never know, you know. But it's just wonderful to welcome you to Joy on Paper. As I said, I love the newest book. Well, the first book I read of yours was the Phoenix Descent, and mm-hmm. I love that one. And oh, then I went back in your the first book you wrote was The Gemini Effect, right?
Right, correct.
And that's the one that got you into, wow, what did you win for that? Tell everybody.
Well, that was, The Gemini Effect was, I entered the story into the Amazon Breakthrough Novel Award contest, which they held from, I think, 2006 or 2007 until 2014. So the year I won was the last year. But my book won for the science fiction, fantasy, and horror category. So
well,
that was pretty exciting.
It was, and boy, see, they had to stop that thing because nobody could get better than that. Maybe that's right because it is
no,
a good book, and we're going to talk.
Fortunate luck and timing, and my book ended up winning,
and it's a great
took
book
off from there.
Exactly, and now the new book. Well, I have to tell everyone that you know. You threw in the word there, horror, but your books are, the new book is like, it's sci-fi, you know, kicked up a notch with mystery and suspense, and it is a great read.
I'm glad you liked it.
Well,
it was a lot of fun to write, too.
Well, I think we get that feeling when we're reading it. What I love the prologue, and recently I've been looking, I'm going to do a whole program just about prologues. And because somebody has said to me, well, I skipped the prologue, and I thought, okay. And I, as a matter of fact, I think years ago I had skipped a few prologues and went back. But this prologue for the Argus Deceit is so good that anybody who reads this prologue will, I mean, they won't be able to stop reading the book. It's just so good.
No, thank you. I guess I did okay then.
You did. You know, when Clive Cussler was on, I was telling him that I named him the king of the prologue, but I think I'm going to move him up a notch and make him the emperor, and I'll make you the king of the prologue. How about that?
Oh, well, thank you very much. Do I get a crown?
Well, maybe I'll send you one. That's because when you write a prologue that just grips You know, the reader, whoa, you read it and you say, wow, how did he get into the mind of well, in this case, it starts off with a child, and it's just so exciting and it's so interesting. And I was thinking, well, you have that wonderful ability as a writer to create a world. Sometimes your world is a little scary, but but it's amazing writing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. When I write a book, I always like to start out with a prologue. It's just a little way to hook people, I guess. You know, when they turn that first page, I want to grab them right away and make them want to read the rest of the book. And I like to do that with prologues.
Yeah, well, you do. And so tell us a little bit. We won't give away all of it, but tell us the premise for The Argus Deceit. I think it's really clever and very well done.
Well, what it is, it all revolves around one character, and his name is Brody Quayle. And if you start reading the book, you're introduced to four different Brody Quayles. There's a 52-year-old Brody who lives in Maine, and his story is set in 1974. You've got a 10-year-old Brody who's set in 1975, and he lives in Ohio. A 26-year-old Brody who lives in Nebraska, and that time frame is 1968. And then a 16-year-old Brody who lives in Colorado, who his time frame is 1981. So you're introduced to these four different people. It's the same guy, but it's different dates, different places, different times, different people around him and whatnot. And as the story unfolds, it kind of repeats a little bit there in the beginning. But once it starts repeating, then I start dropping little clues here and there about you know, maybe this isn't all what it seems. And as the story progresses, you know, if the reader sticks with it.
Oh, the reader's going to stick with it because it is so intriguing. And as you say, you drop a little clues, but it is not... it's not obvious. Nothing's obvious. And that's the joy, really, of reading this book, that you turn the pages and you turn and you keep saying, what's going on here? And you do not disappoint. The ending is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. This, like I said, this book was really, really fun to write because two of the characters, I drew a lot of what's going on with them from myself. Which I think a lot of writers do. You take little bits and pieces from your life and include them in the book. But the 10-year-old Brody Quayle and the 16-year-old Brody Quayle, there's a lot of stuff with those two characters that I took right out of my own, you know, when I was 10 and when I was 16 as well.
Well, you are very good at writing from the eyes of a child, which is not easy for some writers.
That's probably because I've never grown up. I think that's probably one. that's
it, because you do capture that innocence and also the fears that a child has. So it's well done. That's all I can say. When people read this book, they'll say, "Whoa, how did he do this?" Because you sort of tap into all of the emotions, and it's a combination of the happiness that you capture, and then the fear, and there's a sort of dread in it mixed in there all the time, and it's it makes for a fascinating read.
Oh, I appreciate that, Beth. Yeah, that's great to hear.
So
makes me blush a little bit.
Huh?
Makes me blush a little bit.
Oh, Colonel, I love to make a Colonel blush. Well, you know, as I mentioned to you, I've been deeply involved with the military for the past 5 years, particularly with the Air Force, and of course you were in the Air Force, because I've been working on a project to honor the forgotten F-105 warriors. And so I know that it's, you know, the military is also important to you. And tell me, do you go out and meet military guys and talk to them about your books?
Well, actually, when I retired from the Air Force, I came back as a government civilian. So I'm still working for the Air Force, but I'm a but I'm a civilian instead of wearing a uniform.
Ah, okay.
So I'm around military guys all the time.
Okay, good. Well, I bet they like your books.
I've got a few guys in the office that work with me that have read everything I've written, and they're a good sounding board when I come up with something new.
Well, you know, one of several of the writers that I spoke to over the past few years, well, 2 years now that I've been doing this program, one of the things I know that they love to do is to give their books to the military guys and to make sure that they have something good to read. And I know that they will all appreciate your books. You know, in this current atmosphere where everybody is talking about Mars and going to Mars, I want to talk a little bit about the Phoenix Descent, because that, you know, right now everybody thinks, okay, we'll give up on Earth and we'll go to Mars, which is sort of funny, actually, when you think about it. It would be nice if we would try to make the world a better place instead of trying to colonize Mars. But I'm going to, you know, I already put the Argus Descent on my new summer reading list. It's on my webpage under my book club. And so that book will be there. But I'm going to add also the Phoenix Descent because of the fact that everybody's talking about Mars, that I think they will enjoy this book.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing that.
Well, tell us a little bit about how did that one come about? Where did you get the idea for that? Because that's really clever, and I love your characters. Very strong woman character in there. Tell us about her.
That's something I always try to do is to write a strong female characters. And I think part of that is because, you know, any dads out there listening who have daughters probably feel exactly the same way. My first child was a girl. And I have two daughters and one son. But once you have a daughter, as a dad, your perspective kind of changes a little bit, and you want your daughters to be just as strong as any of the guys out there. And both of my daughters are incredibly strong young women. One of them's even a better shot than I am. She's better with a handgun and better with a rifle than I am. But I always want my daughters to be strong. So in this book, The Phoenix Descent, the idea from the story actually came from an article I read, and it was about Chernobyl. And it was about this strange fungus that was growing in the where the reactor was, that you know, there shouldn't be anything alive in there with the amount of radiation that's still there. But it's called a radiotrophic fungus, and it's a fungus that actually takes gamma rays and uses melanin to convert it to energy, kind of like photosynthesis, I guess, where the plants take the sun's rays and use chlorophyll to turn it into energy. This fungus is actually doing that, and I thought, well, that's kind of neat. That there's a story in there somewhere, and then it turned into the Phoenix Descent. So I was just reading an article one day about this weird fungus, and I thought that'd be a good idea to try to build a book around, and so I did.
And of course, the main character is a female astronaut.
Right.
And
her name is Sif Wagner. Her call sign is Sif. Her name's Caitlin. And she's a Navy commander who's one of the three people on a mission that's the first manned mission to Mars, along with a guy named Hunter Webb. He's an Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, and he's the mission commander, and then a guy named Lucas Hoover, who is the mission specialist. So there's three of them that are on their way to Mars. So they take off on their way to Mars, and then things kind of fall apart. And they wake up from stasis and find out something went terribly wrong. And the ship itself is controlled by artificial intelligence, and it sensed that something was wrong. And the protocol was for the ship to try to take them back to Earth. So it does, and when they get there, then they find out things have aren't what they left. Let's put it that way.
Definitely not.
the Earth is completely different.
And
that was a fun story to write too.
It makes a fun story to read. And as I said, I'm going to add that one to the summer reading list because I think everyone should just sit back and enjoy that one. You know, it's a good book. So you'll I hope get some sales from that, because I really I like, you know, when once I find an author, I like to, the way I read, I'm a compulsive reader. I read everything they write, but I love to talk about books that are not, you know, out right now, because sometimes people forget, you know, you have a promotion for a book that comes out, a recent release, but people don't think about going back and reading one of the previous books. And so that's what I always like to do, to encourage everybody to do that, because it's fun.
I appreciate that, Patsy. Thank you.
Now, of course, I wanted to mention, and I know that one of the things all of my listeners who are writing a book are always nervous about finding an agent, about getting published. And a few weeks ago, I had your agent on my show, of course, and Mark Gottlieb, and it was so wonderful to talk to him. And I know that when you first started writing, you had been, I think you were still in the military when you started, right?
I was.
So you didn't have any connections to the publishing world, and you had to travel the same route as everybody, trying to find an agent and trying to find a publisher, right?
I did, and to be completely truthful, I wasn't very successful at it at all. my journey was pretty similar. I was in Alaska, actually, on a remote assignment for the Air Force, and that means that you're away from your family for a year at a remote site. And I had read a horror book that just was awful. And of course, I can't remember the title now or anything, but I thought, you know, if this guy can get published, I should be able to, you know. So I started writing my first book that night, and, you know, 10 years later, I still hadn't sold it. Well, I started working on what eventually became the Gemini Effect, and entered it into the Amazon Breakthrough Novel Award, and lo and behold, it won. And, you know, the whole time, it took about maybe 10, 12, 13 years from the time I started writing until that happened. And over that time, I got hundreds of rejections, you know, and from agents and from publishers saying, no, it's just not for me, you know, try someone else. I even got one rejection that was dated the day before I sent it, which is pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah. But once the Gemini Effect came out, I actually got a call from Mark, and he said, hey, are you looking for literary representation? And, you know, I looked him up and called him and talked on the phone for a little bit, and 15 minutes later, you know, bang, I had an agent. So for all those years, I tried so hard to land one the traditional way, and then Mark ended up calling me.
Well, Mark is amazing, and of course, if he would have called me, I would have probably fainted, because not, you know, to be called by Mark Gottlieb, I've tried, and you have to feel pretty good about that, because he has a good eye and for talent. And the funny thing is, you know, as I'm reading, in a way, I have a problem reading your books.
Did you have a problem?
Yeah, a real problem, yeah. Because I get itchy fingers. I want to start writing a script. You know, I write scripts, and I'm reading your book. That happened when I first read The Phoenix Descent, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. I want to write the script for this, because I know it's going to be picked up for a movie someday. But then when I read The Argus, and I read that prologue, I mean, I could have just... right there, just sat down and written the script for this book. You know, it was just so hard for me. You know, I don't write scripts on spec anymore. And unless somebody pays me a lot of money, I'm not going to write a script. But oh boy, this is going. I know why Mark contacted you, because you have a long term career, and you have a long term. Because of your vision, because of the way that you are able to create these worlds for your book that are very distinctive, I have a feeling that we're going to be seeing this, at least one of them, if not all of them, on the big screen one day.
Oh, I sure hope so. You know, I've gotten a lot of people email me through my website and on Facebook and whatnot to say, when is this going to be a movie? When are they going to make it into a movie? You know, and So that makes me feel kind of good.
Well, I'm sure Mark has that in his mind because he's recognized your talent, and definitely. As I said, it would be so much fun to write the script for your books. And the nice thing about your books, because they are really full, there's not any sort of weakness in the storyline or the plot line. It would be a joy for a script writer to be given your book and not, they wouldn't have to destroy it. You know, they wouldn't have to make up things, and they wouldn't have, because it's all there. And I think that we're going to see it. You have to invite me to the premiere because I'm the first one on national radio to tell you that this is going to be a movie, right?
Well, you will, if that happens, Patsy, I will send you an invite. Don't worry.
Well, absolutely. Because I'm, they are making movies sometimes with absolutely no intelligence, which is why I'm not writing movies anymore. But it would be so nice if somebody in Hollywood would say, okay, we've got a great story. Why ruin it? Let's just take this book. And because it is unique. You have many of the things that you come out with, well, like in the idea of the Chernobyl fungus and all of this, it's unique, and it's something that we haven't seen on the screen before. You know, many of the things that you write, and I think it will be really, really lots of fun to see your books made into film.
Well, I hope it happens. I've got my fingers crossed.
Okay, well, I will keep mine crossed too, and then if anyone hires me to write a script, I'm ready, because I've already seen this, especially the Argus, I've seen it in my head as a movie. That's what happens to me. When I read a book that really grabs me, mm-hmm. To me, I automatically turn it into a film. And
That's exactly what I do when I'm writing.
Yeah,
the exact same thing.
People have
told me that too, that a lot of them read like a movie, you know, and that's how I view it when I'm writing them. I'm going from scene to scene and try to visualize everything that's happening and what they're seeing, what they're tasting, what they're smelling, you know, what they're feeling, that kind of thing.
Well, who knows? You might get big enough that they'll actually ask you to write the script too.
Then I'd have to call you because I don't know how to write.
Yeah, okay, then call me because I've done it already in my head. So tell me, do you have a website that you want people to visit?
I do. It's chuckgrossert.com. Last name's kind of goofy, but it's spelled Grossart. So it's chuckgrossert.com. And there you can see all the novels, and I've got a collection of short stories out there, and a couple of sci-fi, one sci-fi short story and one horror short story. So there's ways to get to there, and if you want to talk to me, you can contact me right off the website. There's an email link there. You can shoot it right to me, and I'm the only one that sees any emails coming off of the website, so you're sending one straight to me.
Okay, well, I will tell everyone about that, and I'll also be sending out a little newsletter for my summer reading program, and I want to make sure that everyone has you on their list, because it is just so much fun to enter your world and to read your stories. You're very clever, and I want to thank you so much for being on today, and I want to thank you for your military service and your service to our country. It's always an honor to talk to somebody who is in the Air Force, particularly. That's my particular favorite. And I just want to thank you so much for being on today, Chuck.
Well, thank you, Patsy. Thanks again for having me, and thanks for the work you're doing for the Thud pilots. I think that's a great thing.
Well, it's a work of love, because they have been forgotten. They really, literally, have been forgotten by so many people, because it wasn't a politically correct war or whatever, if there is such a thing. And unfortunately, you know, they are dying off, and we just lost Leo Thorsness last week. And so it's so important for those that are still alive and for their families that their sacrifice not be forgotten. So for me, that's a work of love.
I agree.
Okay, so thank you again, and I'll have you back on, and we'll talk more. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Patsy.
And don't forget that invitation to the premiere of one of your films.
I won't forget.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Wow, he's nice. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're coming back, and we're going to talk weddings and, bridal stuff. Bye.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I stayed up all night reading this book. We can say that on your behalf to media and tastemakers, but it would be silly for you to brag on your own book. When you need a champion in your corner promoting your work, JKS Communications is with you every step of the way. We take care of the details of promoting you and your book so that you can spend your time and energy focusing on what you do best. Radio and TV interviews, newspaper features, book tours, social media, video. You can do it all, and we're here to make it happen. In 12 years, we've helped more than 700 authors and 1,200 books find their fan base. Everyone at JKS Communications loves what we do, and it shows in our enthusiasm. We're going to make a great team with you. Check us out at jkscommunications.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543, promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with Z, and I am back with my next guest, Samantha Chase, who's wonderful little books about weddings will inspire every girly emotion in you. Hi, Samantha, are you there?
How are you?
Okay, great. Oh, it's nice to talk to you. You know, everybody needs a little sweet, easy read. I hope that is not at all, wrong, because your reads are just relaxing, and we need that. You know, sometimes we all get hooked on thrillers, and I'm not. Sometimes I just can't take one more woman in distress book.
Right. You
know, oh gosh, there have been so many, and they're fun. They're fun. Don't get me wrong. But there are so many, and they all start with the name girl in it. Girl this, girl that, girl this. Every girl book you can think of, and they're all in trouble, and they're all being harassed, bothered, and completely, done in half the time. But, and they land up in most unbelievable situations.
Right.
But in your case, we are in for a good read. We're in for a fun read. And this is the season for it.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is.
Well, you know, I just think it's so cute, you know, when I talk to writers, and they'll say, you know, well, I don't know what to write about. And I always say, well, write about what you like and what you're interested in. And you can't go too wrong on that. So I don't know. Are you really, of course, you love romance. Your books all of your books are romance books, right?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. We haven't gotten into any of the horror, psycho horror books yet.
No.
Oh, please.
The bride books are really a little bit more about friendship, although each of the girls have a romantic subplot. But the whole gist of the book is really just about the friendship. And I love that, because there is nothing more uplifting to me than spending time with my friends.
Well,
I wanted to put that into a book, too. I mean, it's fine when you're writing the romance and like the heroine is, you know, has a scene with the best friend, but I had so much fun writing them that I felt like I wanted a whole book of that. So that's what I did.
And the nice thing is we get into the book and they become our friends. So
that's right.
And that's, you know, that's what makes it so nice. And that's why I have you on my summer reading list for people who just need a break from everything else. You know, go down to the pool, run off to the beach, sit, you know, under a tree and just go into a different world. And it is nice to see how the friends interact over the years.
Right.
And it is a period of years.
Yes.
So tell us, you wrote the prequel, right, is yes. The wedding season. And so yes. That sort of was the background of the story. Tell us a little bit about it.
That was actually meant to just be a standalone. It was kind of funny. I wrote it just as a fun little novella about, you know, it was originally going to be like falling in love with your best friend, you know, Trisha and Sean were best friends, and I originally planned to write it for them to be the couple, but then I thought it was more fun to have it be his brother. And so Sean ended up playing a secondary role, and after that book came out, everyone's like, well, is Sean going to get a story? And I sort of had him almost getting fixed up with somebody in the epilogue, and I thought, well, okay, so they'll be my next people. But then I really wanted to write this Friday Night Brides book, and I thought, well, they're going to be some of my people. And it just, it worked out that way. It wasn't plotted to be a prequel, but it worked out that way. It worked out nicely.
So tell us about the four friends that make up the main.
In Friday Night Brides, they are lifelong friends. They've known each other since kindergarten. And Haley's mom owns a bridal shop, and she does these weekly fashion shows. And so the girls, from the time that they're little, they model flower girl dresses. And then when they get a little bit older, you know, there goes to the junior bridesmaid and then the bridesmaids. And they finally get to the point where they're the ones modeling the bridal gowns. And I actually have a friend who grew up like that her mom owned a bridal shop, and she did that. And I never got to model in the shows, but my sister did. And that was just something that always stuck with me because it was just such a fun environment to be around. And I thought that would be a great backdrop for a story.
Well, it is. And it's you make the stories very intimate and very, very pleasant.
Thank you.
Now, did you have a fancy wedding?
I did.
Yeah?
I did. I grew up on Long Island, and like you have to have a big wedding when you're on Long Island. Like that seems to be like there's no getting around that. So I had a big wedding, and not nearly as big as some, but it's not an easy thing to plan.
Well, I love to watch wedding shows. Like what's it? David Turturro had this.
Yes.
Wasn't that a wonderful show?
It was. Do you know what? My mom was actually, she used to do wedding invitations and seating boards, and she actually did some items for him for that show.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. That was one of my favorite shows, and they're not running it right now. And I keep saying, when are they going to run it? Because I will, you know, it's funny. I do a lot of things. And nobody would really suspect that my sort of guilty pleasure is watching David Turturro because I just love how he could take a bride's idea of what she wants and then knock it down completely and you know, rebuild it into something so beautiful.
Absolutely. Although I would love to have the budget for some of those weddings because they were spectacular.
Oh, wow. So that was wonderful. For your mom, I think that's one of the most thrilling things about you. Now you have to put that on your you have to do that. Really, put it on your Amazon little thing.
Mom featured on.
Yes, because it really gives you an expertise. I mean,
that's
my
right.
Goodness, it comes down from your mother. What can you? That's perfect. That's perfect. See, you've missed an opportunity here. You have to
put that right.
Because. Have you gotten to meet him?
I have not. And actually, she dealt with like his his producers and that sort of thing. I think she saw him in passing once. She never actually got to meet him.
Well, you know, have you sent him your books?
I have not. Oh my goodness.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you, girl? Here, listen. I'll do your marketing for you here.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, first of all, we're going to get in contact with David Turturro.
There you go.
And we're going to give him all your books. And he's going to give them to all the brides that he works with, right?
Yes.
And, well, you have to go over and see him, get your picture taken with him. You know, a selfie with him is worth a lot of publicity.
I am sure. Wow, you are brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are brilliant.
Well, you know, I come up with these things, and now, really, you're going to follow through, okay?
Yes,
and
I will.
And what you might do is, when you meet him, and here's an idea. I think you should, you're married to the same guy you married the first time?
I am, 25 years of marriage.
Okay, well, I think you need to get remarried.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I had to get married twice to the same guy, too. For technical reasons. So
yes,
now I'm telling you right now, David Turturro should do a wedding for you.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Yes, I'm not joking. He needs a new season. We need a new season of his shows because I love them.
Right.
And this is what you're going to do. Contact him, tell him that Patsy with a Z said that I want some more shows because that's my secret indulgence, sitting and watching him. Oh, and sometimes I like rerun it so I can, you know, look at all the things that he's done. And there we're going to have a wedding with, you know, he puts on a fantastic wedding.
Yes, he does.
And also, by the way, I would, you know, for your next book, perhaps you should include him in your book and talk about how your brides are inspired by him, because really he is an amazing person. And, wow, can you imagine the wedding he'd put on?
Gosh. And you know what? There is a third book in the works right now for the series to come out next year. So
okay,
that could definitely be a good part of the plot.
And exactly, a very good part of the plot. And dedicate that book to him. Look,
oh my goodness.
Girl, I think you've already dedicated books to... To whom have you dedicated books? To your husband?
To my husband.
Oh, well.
To friends. To my publisher and my editors and
to your agent. Have you done one?
I have not done one to my agent. I hope he's not listening right now.
Well, he is. Actually, he is listening. I sent him the link today to listen. So, Mark,
I promise to do that for the next one.
No, Mark will not mind at all if you dedicate it to David Turturro. He will not mind because he knows an agent is a very clever person. They understand sales.
Yeah.
So Mark will say, okay, you know, book number 5 you can dedicate to me, but do the next one for David Turturro, because we're going to get him and, you know, we'll get a blurb from him. There's lots of things I can do for you here. Look, I've got it all laid out for you.
Patsy with the Z, you and I are going to have a nice long conversation.
But the most important thing is first of all, he's got to use your mother to get the invitations. And next, you have to invite me to the wedding.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I have dreamt, really, because, this is crazy. I have dreamt about having one of those weddings, and to be involved in it would be fantastic.
Oh, my. It's just, like, because I share your passion with that. Like, that was a guilty pleasure to watch that, just because I would love to see just what he came up with. And I kind of enjoyed watching a little bit of the crazy, too, just...
Yeah, but David is class. I mean, that's class. Mm-hmm. You know, everything he touches, it's just, it's like magic what he does.
Uh-huh. Yes,
and
it is.
It's what you do in writing your books and making a really fascinating read for people. That's magic. So, boy, the two of you together.
It would be spectacular.
It would be spectacular. And then instead of dancing around, as I understand that, you're dancing around in a tiara?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, and that's for your dog.
It is.
Yeah, I would rather be dancing around for David Turturro in a bridal veil.
Yes, that is true, although my dog is entertaining. She doesn't like to have the tiara on, so...
Oh, it's the dog who has a tiara, or you have the tiara?
Well, we both do.
You both do. Okay.
Particularly on a release day, we celebrate a little bit. We have a little snack together, her and I, and we just we get our girly thing going on.
Okay. Well, everyone can get their girly thing on with your books.
Thank you.
It's just, I think, you know, as I said, we all need a little break from, oh, my goodness, one more political thriller, one more this, one more that. In between, it's just fun to have this wonderfully relaxing book. Just, and the only problems are who's going to marry who and who's going to do this. And then, you know, and it's all in a lot of fun. So I assume that you have a lot of fun writing these books.
I really, really do. And after Friday Night Brides came out last year, I knew that I wanted to keep these girls going. So they came back as supporting roles for the bridal squad. So it just kept that energy going.
Well, I think it's first of all, it's a nice idea. I like the bridal squad. I like that title. I think it's great.
Thank you. And
you know, you are doing something really nice for people here in writing these books. And so when you started off, did you have rejection? I just was speaking to another one of Mark's clients. And he had over 100 rejections. Were you ever rejected?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had probably about 24 rejections, and then I realized that I was not somebody who handled rejection well.
Okay.
And that's when I decided I started out self-publishing. And I just didn't realize that by doing that it isn't just about hitting publish. It is about marketing and promoting, and I knew nothing about that. So that first book maybe sold 30 copies that first year, and that was primarily to friends and family. So it was after that, with every book, I learned a little bit more, And then I met up with Mark in 2013, I think it was, and he's done great things for me.
Well, he's a wonderful, wonderful person. He's got a great eye for talent. So the fact that he picked you up means that you are very talented, and so you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you.
And now we have come up with a marketing plan for you.
I know.
And it's going to be phenomenal. I tell you, we're going to be in the New York Times, you know, what's that, bridal section? Oh,
yeah. Oh, my goodness, that is the dream.
Isn't it? It is a dream. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even for a girl from Long Island, were you in the bridal section of the New York Times?
I was not.
No, you were not. Because
I know, because
it's not easy to get in there. But now, for your 25th anniversary wedding, we're going to get you in there.
That would be great.
A fantastic idea?
Okay. That really is.
So your publicist is listening in, I'm sure, and we'll talk to a few other people. And then I'll have you back in it. Well, no, you know what we'll do is if we can swing this thing, we're going to broadcast right from the wedding.
You really take an idea and run with it. I love that.
Well, I do. You know, I get these ideas. I got the idea for the radio program one morning at 4 o'clock, well, exactly 4:15 in the morning. And it just popped into my head that I could do a radio program, which was funny because I had never been on the radio and I didn't know anything about radio. And actually, I had never even spoken in public before. But I got the idea that I could do a radio program. Because I had been listening to somebody interviewing an author, and I realized that person had not read their book, and I thought, well, that's not fair. You know,
right.
At least read the book, for goodness sakes. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do a radio program. 3 weeks later, I was on the air, which is still amazing to me. But you can see that when I get an idea, I run with it. And so,
and you know what? So yeah, you and I, we're going to keep in touch after this.
Absolutely, because I'll come up with more. You can be sure of that. So I just want to thank you so much for being on today, you know, because it's fun. It's fun to be girly once in a while.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have a webpage that you want people to go to?
I do. You can go to chasingromance.com, and it's chasing-romance.com. There's a little dash between the two words.
And I did want to ask you, do you go now to, are you like invited to wedding dress companies and asked to, you know, try on all their wedding gowns so that you can...
No, because I'm a lot older than that, so I don't think that anybody's looking for the 48-year-old bride.
Well, yeah, but they can ask for your, you know, a little blurb from you saying, this is a really great dress. This is a really great dress, you know, because you're becoming the bridal expert, right?
I would, you know, I kind of feel like it. I have had the most fun researching bridal trends and looking at the dresses. And I just think, oh my goodness.
Well,
it wasn't,
I think,
like that when I was getting married, there wasn't such an amazing designs, although maybe I just didn't know it back then.
Well, now that we know that you are, we're gonna crown you the bridal dress expert, and again, here's another marketing idea for you.
Okay.
We have to contact one of them, and they need to get, you know, when they have those little tags on the dresses,
uh-huh,
and they can have one recommended by Samantha Chase. This is a winner.
Gosh, you and I let loose in a bridal shop right about now, like one of those big bridal things.
Oh, boy. We'd go crazy.
Yes, we would.
It would be fun. Oh, okay. Well, it's been fun talking to you, Samantha.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Okay, and I expect to hear from you soon, because we're going to come out with some more ideas, and maybe your publicist can you know, give me a ring, and I have some even more crazier ideas. I'm already, you know, this is fun. So thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thanks.
And we'll say a special hello to Mark, because he is listening, I think.
Yes.
And he will be happy with when your next book comes out.
Perfect.
And anyway, you're going to be back on the program, or I'm going to be up there at the wedding.
There you go.
Okay.
Done.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Oh, she is so cute. Oh, that's nice. Listen, I'm going to do a quick Larson & Larson commercial, because they're my lawyers and I love them.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660, or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I was happy to bring that message from Larson & Larson. Bill Larson is my patent attorney as well as my intellectual property attorney. And when I was talking to Chuck Grassot in the first half hour, he was talking about fungi, the fungi that they find in Chernobyl. And it's interesting, a little side note here, that I have 4 patents to kill fungi. And so it's something that I am very grateful to Bill Larson and his firm, Larson & Larson, beside the wonderful entertainment law that they do, all the intellectual property law they do. They are also, you know, their major work is in patent law, and they are experts. So if you have an idea for a patent, and if you want to be on Shark Tank one day, then contact Bill, because he will give you you have a free consultation, no charge, so you can go in and say, is this idea of mine patentable? Is it worth the money to do it? And certainly before you apply to Shark Tank, don't send them in anything. Please don't. I have one friend who sent everything to a certain television company and not only never heard back, but I think later on, not Shark Tank, but another company came out with his invention. So please be careful where you send your invention if you have not gotten a patent. Anyway, I think you will all find Bill Larson lots of fun, too. He comes on the program once a month to answer your intellectual property questions. And if you have any, send them to me at patsy@radio-joyonpaper.com. And I will give them to Bill, and we will talk about them and help solve your problems and answer all your legal questions. Meanwhile, I also want to tell everyone, you know, as I mentioned to Samantha, when I started this program, I had no idea what I was doing, and I entered the entire process with my heart and not my head, because I had no idea what was involved in the radio business. And it is really quite different from anything else in the world I've been in. I've had retail business, I've had service businesses that I've started and run. I've had hundreds of employees. I've worked in film and television, but there's nothing like radio. It's a completely new world. The business model is completely different from anything else. And it's just mind-boggling. Now, I had some commercials. Sometimes I don't even remember to do the commercials, which is not a good thing. And Big Ed sometimes waves at me that it's time to do a commercial. But there are times when I'm just talking to somebody and I just don't feel like I can interrupt them. For example, when the Poet Laureate was on, Juan Felipe Herrera, we were talking for an hour and I really didn't think I should interrupt him, you know, to sell something. This happens. But I would appreciate if anyone wants to help Joy on Paper, you can do two things. Go to mypillow.com and use the promo code Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I, and just order a pillow. It's a wonderful, we were just talking to Samantha Chase about weddings. Weddings are coming up. MyPillow just make wonderful gifts for everybody. And, of course, Mother's Day. I think you still have time for Mother's Day. It's Tuesday, so you could still get it. And definitely for Father's Day. And then if you have kids who are graduating and finally moving out of the house, if that's what you want, although you will regret it because once they leave, it's so quiet. It's amazing how noisy kids are. But when they move out, they need pillows wherever they go. So order them a MyPillow at MyPillow.com and use the promo code Patsy. And so that's my commercial for today. Plus, I want to tell you that I have put a donation button on my website. And I have also put up my book club suggestions for the summer. And I hope you will go there and buy the books. You can order them directly from my website. All of the books that I've been really enjoying over the past few months from the authors that I've interviewed here. And remember, their interviews are available on my archive page. So first go to the book club page, order one of their books. You can start with the Argus Deceit, which I think you will really enjoy. And of course, I'm trying to think who else is up there right now. Well, Mary Higgins Clark's book is, of course, up there. She was a wonderful guest. She was here a few weeks ago. So there are just so many wonderful books. And I want to thank Jim Lamb for his suggestions and help in coming up with my summer reading list. And I hope that you will go there to my book club page. It's radio-joyonpaper.com. And meanwhile, just enjoy yourself today. Find a book. Sit down, relax, and take it easy. And I will have an amazing lineup of guests in the next few weeks. So, meanwhile, don't let anyone steal your joy. Share it and just be joyful and say something nice to somebody else. Say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him right back because I should have been a drill.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Veterans and GOP healthcare, South Korean upset. I'm Michael Toscano.
Veterans are simply not going to stand for this double talk and deception.
Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal beginning the fight against the GOP healthcare plan in the Senate.